Did you know that every major diaper company either financially or vocally supports abortion? If that appalls you, and you're looking to support a baby brand that aligns with your pro-life, pro-family views, then Every Life is your solution. Every Life firmly believes that regardless of where someone is from, what they look like, or whether they were planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle from God worthy of love, protection, and celebration. Every Life offers high-performing, supremely soft, premium diapers and wipes delivered right to your doorstep. Their diapers are crafted without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. And you can feel good knowing that every purchase with Every Life contributes to changing lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is not just changing diapers, they're changing lives. Visit everylife.com to learn more. That's everylife.com. And don't forget to use promo code Duffy10 for an exclusive 10% discount on your first order today.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to From the Kitchen Table. I'm Sean Duffy, along with my co-host for the podcast, my partner in life and my wife, Rachel Campos Duffy. Hi, Rachel.
Hey, Sean. Q&A.
Q&A.
It's Friday.
It is Friday. It's my favorite time of the week.
It is, actually. Okay, so let's go right into it here.
Okay.
So first question somebody asks is, how would you describe your parenting style? I'm going to start with you, Sean. And there's lots of, are you a free spirit? Are you a helicopter parent? Are you a gentle parenter? Are you a disciplinarian? Are you authoritarian? What is it?
I think I'm a lot of things. So
I think you are too.
Thanks for springing that question on me.
Sorry. Let's just get right in.
So I think sometimes I'm nurturing. Sometimes I draw lines and don't accept kids' BS.
Give us an example of how you are nurturing.
Listen, when kids are, whether they're having trouble with their friends, whether they're having, you know, trouble in school, I think I'm very helpful. When they're injured, I'm nurturing. But also they come home with, my teacher did that, or my friends are doing this, where I think a lot of parents today will come in helicopter. We kind of go, yeah, you know, man up. I'm sorry. Or you can figure it out.
Well, we'll help you figure out some of these answers, but you got to deal with this yourself. We're not going to get involved in this.
That's right.
Yeah. I think some of that too is just having a lot of kids and over time, it's like,
We don't have time for
the
I can't
bullshit.
Deal with that.
But
you know what that is? That's actually really important, because then the most important things that you actually have to spend your time on get taken care of.
Are the most important things.
But you don't have time for the BS of the little things. And frankly, that's kind of probably the way we were raised back in the day.
But it's not just a factor of the fact that we have a lot of kids. I still remember when Evita was really little and her cousin was really little and they would get in fights. And my sister is very protective. And so she would want to get involved and like she would get upset about it. And I'd be like, oh, let them work it out. Like, I'm a little bit more of that kind of let them work it out. I'm also was not, you know, it's gotten worse because of the internet, but you know, I never was one of these, like, what do the experts think? I mean, I think parenting is so innate. If you have common sense, I think I'm a woman with common sense. If you have common sense, you just know how to do it. And if you have the wisdom to look back at what was done before and decipher what was good, and maybe there were seeing things in the past that, you know, parents did that maybe weren't great things, like, you know, putting cigarette ashtrays inside their cars. You know, I'm kind of glad we're not doing that anymore, but there's a lot of wisdom in the past. And I've always been, I think the only person I ever sought wisdom on parenting from was from my own mom. And sometimes the kids would come to me with questions and I'd be like, ask grandma, ask Yaya. So I think I've always been a common sense, gut intuition way of parenting. When it seems like not a good idea, it's probably not a good idea.
So can I give you a little reality check on that? Or
sure.
My memory serves a little bit different. So again, you mentioned don't go to the experts. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you want to, whatever. But I think the best advice to give young parents is ask someone else a friend of yours who actually has kids or someone who's older that's an acquaintance, ask them. You would ask your mom, that's true. But also, when we were in Ashland, you would ask Debbie Lulich random questions here and there about what she's done and how she does things, or other parents.
I think it's more observing that. I just think your sister Peggy is somebody that I, you know, like to hear how she did things. But in the end, I always use my own gut instinct to decipher. But for moms in general, I've always thought it was good to be observant.
You get questions though now, even as a mom with clients.
Oh, I do. No. Of course. No, what I'm saying is
you're the Fox expert on parenting.
A lot of young pregnant women come to me with questions because I've done it so many times, and I do have some solid advice on labor and delivery in particular. But I do think that it's good to look at people who are older than you, who've had kids, who you think that the product, the end result with their kids is pretty good. And you don't even have to interview them. You just be around them and watch them and see how they interact and see how they do things. And
you take the good things, leave the bad things.
Leave the bad things.
No one's perfect.
One's perfect. But I do think that it's so hard because with Google, people are constantly Googling everything on, like, you know, how to get my kid to sleep or, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's nice to get some advice, but in the end, I mean, you're a parent. You know that balance between overindulging a kid and leaving them to cry for 5 hours, you know, like, because they don't want to go to sleep. There is this balance, and I just think, in general, in our culture, we've lost that balance.
And again, I think there's a lot of things that suck kids in that need balance, whether it's sneezing or watching TV, playing video games, being on phones. And these are, they're meant to be addictive for kids, but also trying to feed them balance. And we work on that too with, you know, the young ones don't have phones and we don't have video games in the house, but sometimes the TV can be a draw, and a little 7-year-old oftentimes will go turn the TV on by himself and you'll be like, hey, turn
that
off.
To do that.
Get up here.
I have to hide the remote so he won't, he won't do it. But yeah, I do think we've lost some of that trusting your own instinct.
Elders too.
Elders and the wisdom of the ages. Like these people that think they can reinvent childhood reinvent parenting, and that somehow, you know, I have to do it exactly the opposite of everything I've ever seen. I mean, obviously if you grew up in an abusive home, that's probably a good idea. But if you grew up in a pretty decent home, chances are your parents who raised you in the 70s and 80s got some things right because they're probably following a pattern that's been time tested.
And I think that's been a mentality. We want to change all the things of the past. We want to do it differently. And the question is, how's that working out for you as a culture, as a society? I would argue not so well. So let's go back to the wisdom of the past. Okay. What else we have?
I like that. How's TikTok built? How do you feel about it, Sean?
Well, I had a fight with Evita about it on a podcast.
We had a great podcast, a father-daughter debate on it. Has your mind changed?
No, listen, I think she made some very good specific points on the bill and the power that it gives the president. And I think I seeded that during the podcast with her. But I think she also went too far in saying TikTok is a free speech platform and we want to protect the First Amendment and therefore protect TikTok. I still stand by this. If everyone's banned off a platform versus certain individuals on a platform, that doesn't affect free speech. And again, this is a national security risk. So, I think this is what's important. The Senate's taking their time with it, and some of the problems that have been identified in the House bill can actually be fixed in the Senate to make sure we don't give too much power to a Joe Biden, a Barack Obama, or a future Gavin Newsom. That's important. How about you?
I'm a lot more...
China friendly?
No, I'm a China hawk, and you know that. I'm sure I'm on every list they have. I'm constantly condemning them and doing stories about them. However, I'm probably more worried about Google. You know, I've recently had to do a Google search on something, and I'm like, the amount of crap that they algorithmically put forward for me to look at. So for example,
every liberal website, you mean?
Yeah. Or like if you were to Google George Soros, you would see probably 5 pages of positive George Soros pieces until you figure out he's actually Satan. You know, like it's weird. It's like they, so what happens is kids no longer go to the library. They no longer, you know, go and look for books. Everything is Googleable. So if they have a paper to write, if they're trying to learn about a topic, let's say they're trying to learn about abortion, It's really hard to find two sides of that argument if you Googled that. And this is one of the ways that they're indoctrinating and altering history and rewriting history. And that's what you hear a lot of people saying. I got to hold on to these old books because if I let Google be my source of information, that's going to be a problem.
So I'm just, again, just because Google is bad doesn't mean that TikTok is good. I agree. Google are left wing nut jobs.
I'm not saying TikTok's good either.
I think, though.
But I think as a threat to my freedom, I actually feel the most existential, imminent, current threat is Google. And I, in fact, because Google is going to affect the outcome of the next election in some way or another.
So, first of all, Google is a real threat to democracy, a real threat to free speech, 100%. But Google doesn't have an army. Google isn't building warships. Google doesn't have nuclear weapons. Google doesn't have a plan to take over the Western Hemisphere, a plan to take over the world. Google, you know, is a company that are communists. That's different than a country of communists that are very powerful and can use this information for warfare. So they're very different threats, I think. And I think Google, as bad as they are, is a different threat that is possibly manageable as an American company, as opposed
to, we're not going to manage. It's not an American company. It's a globalist company.
It's
a multinational company, isn't it?
It's housed in the U.S. It's an American-based company. So.
All right. So here's another, you know, somebody recently, so, you know, that Sydney Sweeney was on Saturday Night Live. She hosted a couple weeks ago. And after when she was hosting it, she wore some very, let's just say, chest enhancing outfits that really displayed her assets.
I didn't notice that.
I'm sure you didn't. And so somebody posted a picture of her or a video clip of her at the end of the show where she's wearing this very asset enhancing chest enhancing outfit. And all he wrote with this little tiny video clip of her saying goodbye for the night on Saturday Night Live was, "Woke is dead." So I guess the question, and this tweet got 16 million likes, over 16 million likes. And so I guess 16 million, I mean, that's a lot of people, Sean, who think that Sydney Sweeney's breasts might have just ended the whole, you know, there's no difference in the sexes, the whole operation. And it was a $1 billion operation, billions of dollars that were put into motion to try and convince us that sex and gender and men and women aren't different. And in the end, for what? It just took Sydney's breasts to like end this whole debate.
Okay, so
men and women are different.
So let's just be really clear. These are shark infested waters of this topic that we're going to talk about right now, for me anyway, in this environment. And let me just, you know, I'm going to come back and give you my take on Sydney Sweeney's breasts right after this break.
Did you know that every major diaper company either financially or vocally supports abortion? If that appalls you and you're looking to support a baby brand that aligns with your pro-life, pro-family views, then Every Life is your solution. Every Life firmly believes that regardless of where someone is from, what they look like, or whether they were planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle from God worthy of love, protection, and celebration. Every Life offers high-performing, supremely soft, premium diapers and wipes delivered right to your doorstep. Their diapers are crafted without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. And you can feel good knowing that every purchase with Every Life contributes to changing lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is not just changing diapers, they're changing lives. Visit everylife.com to learn more. That's everylife.com. And don't forget to use promo code Duffy10 for an exclusive 10% discount on your first order today.
All right, welcome back to From the Kitchen Table. Rachel decided to bring up a question about
Sydney Sweeney's boobs.
Yes. and the end of wokeness. Listen, if we're honest, we go, men appreciate women. Mm-hmm. And men that appreciate women are not toxic. God made us a certain way to appreciate and want to mate with a woman, and women are made the same way to want to be with a man. And I think Sydney Sweeney is just a reminder that men are still men. I'm sorry, we are.
And women are still
women. And women are still women, and that's okay. And all the things that the woke left tries to tell us, that if you are attracted to a woman or think she's attractive, that you are toxic, and that genders are fluid. I think there's probably a lot of little fluid boys, or thought they were fluid out there, that saw Sydney Sweeney and go like, actually, no, I'm not fluid. I know what I am. I like what I saw online, or, you know, on Saturday Night Live,
or on any of her, any of her shows and movies. Here's what Richard Hanania is the one who, I hope I said his name right. He's the one who wrote the tweet, wokeness is dead, with a picture of her and her assets. This is what he says. He says, the more attractive women around us are, whether in real life or fiction, the less one is able to maintain two important leftist delusions: that the sexes are or can be made interchangeable, and that the sexual selection either or that sexual selection either is or can be made to be an unimportant part of human affairs. He goes on to say, Sean, if Sydney Sweeney's boobs walk into a room, even Chris Hayes is going to experience a physiological transformation. He's saying even Chris Hayes, who's gay and, you know, likes to see himself as, you know, not a toxic male, will have to contend with what just walked in the room. So I think it's an interesting discussion, because the left has tried again to make it seem like gender is a construct. Gender is fluid, all this kind of stuff. But in the end, we're created for a purpose.
We are wired a certain way.
We are wired for procreation. And part of that reproduction process involves us being wired for to be attracted to one another, and that there were certain signals. This is sort of evolutionary biology stuff. There's a reason why men are attracted. It implies fertility. I mean, you can go back and look at all kinds of stuff of how we select in order to reproduce and know that our genes are going to carry on into the future.
Okay, so I'm just going to give you this. Sydney Sweeney's boobs.
Are you going to tie up the boobs?
I'm going to tie up the boobs. Like, I'm going to actually go a little bit off on the boobs, and then I'm going to tell
come
you why this matters. Sydney Sweeney's boobs are a direct front, a challenge to climate change. She is going to destroy the climate change movement in and of itself. And here's why. So the left will talk about carbon emissions and cars and electric and windmills and cow farts, all these different things they talk about. Climate change really comes down to you. They don't want you on Earth. They want less humans here.
Yeah, it's not about less
carbon
and carbons. It's more about less of you.
Less people, right? Mm-hmm. And so the whole movement here has been to say, you know what? We want to have gender be a construct. And gender's a construct. We'll have more or less people getting married, less people having families, and then less procreation. I think the left loves porn, and they love
AI.
A lot of people love porn, but the left likes to push porn, and they love to have prostitutes, and they want to destigmatize prostitution. Well, if someone is hanging out by themselves, you know, with their computer, mm-hmm. And looking at porn, they're not out at the bar meeting a girl and having the real thing. I'm sorry, they're not. And mm-hmm. if you're with a prostitute, the prostitute's probably on birth control, and if she does get pregnant, she's probably going to have an abortion. So if you're using porn and prostitution, you're not procreating. And that is good for the left, because they think that procreation gives more climate change. And so when you have Sydney Sweeney's boobs that remind men that they want to be with women, and maybe if they are with women, they might get married and they might have a family and they might procreate, the left hates that, because then they think, oh my God, you're going to destroy the world, and climate change is going to be completely diminished, devolved, because
this theory of yours, Sean, is actually
I was going to laugh, but
no, I'm not laughing at all. I think it's actually really profound that ultimately the whole climate change agenda is about depopulation.
Yes,
it's an anti-natalist, anti-family, anti-baby movement. That's why the people who are for all of this, you know, climate climate change, global warming. They also happen to also be, you know, about pro-abortion. It's an anti-reproduction thing. And wow.
Sydney Sweeney's boobs make us want to reproduce. Right? Sydney Sweeney's boobs are going to save America. And I got to stop.
Well, I was just going to say, maybe that's the title of this episode. Sydney Sweeney's boobs save the planet.
Save America. I'll just save America.
You're just going to say, you're even going to say save America. I think might even save the planet.
I'm going to leave it there because I'm not going to get in any more trouble.
Okay.
Than I've already gone in. That's my philosophy. And I'll just note, and I'm going to, I provide too much information. Rachel and Evita were talking about Sydney Sweeney, and I'm like, I know who she is.
Yeah, that's so funny. I have to say this because
I don't know.
Usually we'll bring up, like, literally this has happened. We were talking about Selena Gomez once. This was years ago. And he was like, who? And Selena all Gomez. The kids were like, what?
There's
Selena Gomez. But this happens over and over again. We'll talk about some celebrity, some pop culture figure that everyone else is talking about. And
all
that's
the girls
why
in
these
the house, in the boys too. And I'm like, yeah, I have no idea.
And he doesn't know who we're talking about. And we always laugh about it. It's sort of like a dad joke in our family. And then Evita and I were talking about Sydney. She was on speakerphone with me in the kitchen, and Sean was there. We were talking about Sydney Sweeney. And lo and behold, guess who knew who Sydney Sweeney was?
Because I know, listen, I care about saving America, and I know that she's going to do it. And so I know who she is.
I love it. That's
all right,
awesome.
Let's get out of this topic.
Okay, let's come back on the other side with one last question.
All right. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the kitchen table. So, in the vein of popping stories on each other, which Rachel just did to me, I'm going to pop a story on Rachel. So, we keep hearing these stories in the news about all of these squatters. People buy a house, and they might have, you know, weeks or months before they move in, or a bank forecloses on a house and it's empty, and squatters are moving in. And a foundation of America, and why, and you've mentioned this, we talked about this last night, a foundation in our country is property rights. And people love to invest in America because we have rock solid property rights. You buy the property, it's yours. And there are laws protect your rights to own that property. And if anyone tries to infringe or encroach on that right, our laws are very stringent that we're going to step in and go, no, it's very clear you own this property. Well, in certain states, they've allowed the laws have digressed, and they're now giving squatters rights. So you have people just moving into vacant homes and saying, I live here. They'll draft up fake leases, and the laws are written in such a way that it'll take months, potentially years, to get these squatters out of your house. And think about this. Think you bought a house. You're paying a mortgage. You did all of the research, and you took all the loans, and you saved your money, and you have this house. And before you move in, someone else moves in, and they're living in your house, sleeping in your bedroom, using your bathroom. And you're paying for it, and you can't get them out. We talked about this before. You've talked a lot about this happening in Europe and what it means for the Europeans, and where the movement comes from, where they allow squatters to take priority over homeowners.
Yeah, you know, first of all, there's a TikTok, I guess, star. He's Hispanic. He's Venezuelan. He does his TikTok videos in Spanish. And he will basically, you know, give advice to other people who are coming here illegally on how to milk the system. And now one of his latest TikTok videos is, hey, these are the laws here now. You can actually move into someone's home, not pay rent, squat there, and it's going to take them a long time to get you out. And in the meantime, you get some
free
months. Maybe a year of living for free. So people are catching on to it. You know, when I would say about 8-9 years ago, I have friends and family who live in Spain. And one of my friends in Spain, her name is Diana, and she has her family has property in different parts of Spain. And she said, you know, we're talking about how she does that. She's, you know, traveling at different times to manage the different properties. And she said one of the concerns they have is that, you know, squatting is a big problem in Spain, and that, you know, the laws were terrible, and they could, I think it was about 8 or 9 years ago. And that, you know, one of the things she had to do is keep going to check on these properties in different parts of Spain to make sure that there weren't squatters or anything happened, especially when she was, you know, making these rentals and whatnot. And I remember thinking, Sean, and I literally said to her, I'm like, wow, that crap can never happen here in America.
It's bizarre.
I'm like, that is so bizarre. I can't believe it. I've heard of squatters like in Latin America, you know, like you sometimes hear about that. Or you hear about land being repatriated because, you know, some dictator took over some Latin American country. And now this, you know, beach home you had, you no longer own. Heard of those things. I was shocked that it was happening in Spain. And I was certain that was something we would never have to worry about here. So this has been a huge eye-opener for me. And now there's this new business coming up of, because the cops won't do anything, the law won't do anything. Now there's these, like, people are hiring these task forces to go, okay, I can't get these guys out. Maybe you can scare the heck out of them and run them out of the place.
Yeah, so just in law school, there's a philosophy called
vigilantism.
Yeah. Well, no, there's something called adverse possession, and it's one of the most horrible things in property law that you'll have to study for the bar exam and you'll take in class. And basically, you have to have an adverse possession, I believe, for 21 years in most places before you can make a legitimate claim on someone's property. I've been here for a month, and I'm going to make a claim on your property. And this is so insidious for a couple of reasons. When you have a breakdown in the rule of law, when you have a breakdown in property rights, you have a breakdown in society.
Yeah.
So if I can't buy a home and it can't be mine, people aren't going to make investments in properties.
Correct.
Right. If I can't walk down the street and feel safe, I'm not going to walk down the street. What you see is this slide into what people have lived in third world countries for decades. They've lived in this kind of squalor and these internal fights because the laws aren't clear and crisp. And what's interesting is the left are enforced. The left is actively working to make America more like a third world country, whether it's the crime, whether it's the selective prosecution, and now it's on property rights. And what fascinates me is that even liberals own homes. Even liberals are having issues with squatter rights. Even liberals are getting beat up on the streets. Even liberals aren't being treated fairly under the law. And still, they keep voting for politicians that advocate for these crazy laws. And again, I don't have an answer for it. It doesn't make any sense to me. At what point, when do they go, enough is enough? I want to actually have laws in New York City that support the person who saved their money and bought the property and is paying the mortgage. They should sleep in that house, not the squatter. And especially the squatter that just came to this country and now has more rights than I do. The guy who saved and bought the property, the guy who just came across the border, that broke down our fence and came into this country illegally, they have more rights than me. When do they throw those politicians out? It's a liberal mindset that I haven't figured out yet.
I can't understand it, but you're right. It will take us down into a third world, you know, track. The main reason why people have faith in America is property rights. Honestly, it's property rights. Right. It is one of the most important things. It's one of the things, you know, when I talk to people who come from Latin America, who came here legally, one of the reasons they wanted to come was property rights. Because it's something you could not depend on there. And it's just mind-boggling to me that we're living in a time when you can't depend on that in America.
I have wanted to invest in places like Mexico or Costa Rica.
Oh, yeah.
Like I pick all these crazy, like I have all these crazy
throughout
ideas.
Throughout our marriage, Sean's been like, hey, I've got some friends that have a beach house.
We should go here.
We should maybe think about maybe saving money and investing in Costa Rica.
And Rachel would always say what?
Nope, I don't trust property rights in Latin America.
If you invest money there, they can take it away from you.
That's right.
I'm not
going to
put our hard-earned money into those
this
countries.
We've been married almost 25 years. That has been a conversation we have had.
It's the theme of
since the beginning. Because Sean has always been like, wouldn't it be great to have a place somewhere warm, you know, and it's cheaper there than Florida.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, sorry, nope, don't trust. And the reason people should know isn't just because I'm Hispanic.
I studied Latin America. I have a master's degree in international affairs with an emphasis on Latin America studies. I speak often to people who are familiar with the area. My sister has lived in Latin America for, 10 years of her life. I've lived in Latin America for, a year in Peru, 3 or 4 months in Venezuela. So I've been there. I know it. And I can't believe we're turning into it. But every day we are more like a Latin American country in terms of the lack of predictability in our laws, the lack of security on our streets. It just feels like we're
even
in
the
decline.
Roads that we drive on. I'm like, you know what? We pay so much in taxes.
Or the airports. Now, how many countries have better, more, clean,
beautiful airports, beautiful subways? The subways aren't safe. The airports aren't safe. The roads are full of potholes. And I'm like, what do you do with the money? Well, you know what? This is all about cronyism, right?
Yes.
They pay off the unions and they've got all these people that get paid. But we really pay taxes to make our government work. And that means build roads, build bridges, invest in airports.
Didn't we pass like a year or two ago a big
over a trillion dollars in infrastructure, which they always use infrastructure. It's never going to go to infrastructure. You're not going to see new roads.
The only person, Sean, that should have been trusted with infrastructure was Donald Trump.
Donald J. Trump.
And when Donald Trump was elected in 2016, his instincts were so good. He said, "I'm going to do something bipartisan. Everyone likes infrastructure, as you just said. And I love to build things, and I know how to build things, and I know how to get a good deal on them, and we're going to do infrastructure." And a bunch of people in Congress convinced him that no, he should put all that political capital into healthcare, which was not bipartisan, and which in the end, the Republicans lost because John McCain got out of his deathbed to fly to Washington, D.C. to make sure that Donald Trump and the Republicans didn't get a win. And he voted no and killed 2 years of efforts. And boy, if Donald Trump had done infrastructure instead of Pete Buttigieg, America would be better
and
off.
And by the way, we did do tax reform, which was really good, but it would have been nice if we had gotten infrastructure done where we actually built infrastructure. We built roads, bridges, airports, train stations that were safe with, if our kids listen to this, they're going to call me a boomer, though I'm not a boomer. I'm a Gen Xer. Listen, any more topics? I think that's it.
I think we've covered the spectrum from boobs to infrastructure. I don't know, a TikTok and parenting. I don't know what more gamuts you want to cross. Let's end this before we get in any more trouble.
Listen, let us end it. Listen, thanks for joining us at the kitchen table. We appreciate you tuning in. If you like our podcast, rate, review, subscribe. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can always find us at foxnewspodcasts.com. Please subscribe to get a notice every time we drop, which is Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday's Q&A is always dangerous because it's Friday's Q&A, like we did today. And until next time, I hope you have a great weekend. That's Palm Sunday this weekend. If you're getting us on Friday night, go to church and we prepare.
Have a great Holy Week next week.
For Holy Week. All right. Bye,
everyone. Everybody.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.